topic, what I wanted to share to, and learn tonight in the final part of this series, is what will happen this year. You know, there's a lot of, these different emails going around about how the year of the Tavshin Pei Aleph has a lot of nuances to it that we don't find over the course of other years. Purim on a Friday, Purim Mishalosh in Israel, Pesach is a Motzei Shabbos. Right, there's a lot of, there's no Shabbos Chol HaMoed. So one of the unique things about Purim, about this year in Rosh Hashanah, is it's going to be on a Shabbos. We haven't had this in about 12 years. Tav Shin Samech, I think was the last year Rosh Hashanah was on a Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken. And one of the really unique things about Rosh Hashanah Shabbos is we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah, and we're doing Shuva, and we're ready, and we get to Shul, and it's very, we're talk Thursday night. It might feel different, but it's still very going to be very moving, and we're going to get to Shul, and we're going to be ready for that, for the tekios, and it's not going to happen. So on the one hand, I guess we can, now you can maybe talk a little bit more, obviously, to help people with their davening, but we feel like we're missing something. The shofar, it's piercing. Those sounds are piercing the motivation, the emotions, the feelings. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik would talk about when you blow the shofar, Motziyam Kibber, it's taking all the last krechts of all the things that I need to daven for and things that I don't know I need to daven for. It all goes up when I blow the shofar. And yet, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to have it. And it feels very awkward. It feels very different. It feels very strange. And what do we make of it? So what I would like to do tonight is go through some of the sources. Why are we not blowing the shofar? And are there times in history that people did blow the shofar? Some fascinating stories in Jewish history. And finally, what does that do for us? What do we take away from this, this unique Rosh Hashanah where Shabbos will have no shofar? Obviously, Sunday we will have the shofar, but what do we make of it? So let's begin. So we actually find, a few different sources for the blowing of, for not blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The first is the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us Rosh Hashanah. Yom Tov shal Rosh Hashanah shal Cholios b'Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Shabbos, like we have this year, b'Mikdash hayu tokim, then Beis HaMikdash, they would blow the shofar, avolo b'Medina, but not outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we'll get to a little bit later, Medina is a big machlokas what Medina means. Does Medina mean anywhere that's not Beis HaMikdash? Or does Medina mean, like we discussed, the tearing of Kriya when you see Yerushalayim? Does Medina, according to the Rambam, even mean Yerushalayim? Okay, but outside of the Beis HaMikdash and maybe the surrounding area, we don't blow the shofar. Mishachar HaBeis HaMikdash, Hizkan Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw after the shakshon of the Beis HaMikdash, he instituted the following takana, they would blow the shofar, b'chol makom sheyesh b'basin. Wherever there was a basin, was that only in Yavne or anywhere else? We'll see. Okay. So the question is, where did this come from? Where did Chazal see anywhere in the Torah that when the shofar, we're going to see in a minute, it's so important. What do they see not to blow shofar? So here you have a unique machlokes between the Bavli and between the Gemara Yerushalmi. Now, a different time we can discuss, there are actually halachic applications to this discussion. But the first is the following. We have two psukim about shofar. First, the pasuk in Bamidbar tells us about Chodesh HaShvi'i in the seventh month. We're going to start the seventh month next week, Friday night. Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, Kamalacha Savadol Osa, Su Yom Trua. It's a day of Trua. And then the Mishnah, the pasuk in Vayikra and Emor tells us, Dabar B'nei Yisrael Leimor B'Chodesh HaShvi'i, same month. Echel HaChodesh, same day. What? Notice the pasuk here doesn't tell us it's a Yom Trua. It tells us it's a Zichron Trua. All right, you're supposed to remember the Trua. So the Gemara Yerushalmi says, What's the difference? One is I blow, and one is I remember the blasts. So the Gemara says, yeah, when it's not Shabbos, blow the shofar. When it is Shabbos, you remember the shofar, but you don't blow it. The Gemara Yerushalmi, the Gemara Bavli, though, says the following. The Gemara says, Minani, Mili, where do I know this from? It quotes this idea of Yom Trua versus Zichron Trua. But the Gemara continues to have a number of questions on this approach, and it ends up with the following halacha that should really bother us. The last three lines here, Amar Rava, Mida Araisa Mishra Shari. Mida Araisa, on a biblical level, if you'd get up, you come to Shul and Shabbos. This year, Rosh Hashanah, and you're so moved by the tefillos, you give a clap on the bima. Everybody's looking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And there someone goes and he blows the shofar. Okay? It's not like when I was in Shalavim, and after they finished the Megillah, for a night, some guy clapped on the bima and then drank a bottle of the Jack Daniels. Okay, so a little bit different. Okay? So guy gets up and blows the shofar. Mide oraisa, biblically, he's fine. V'rabbanan hu de gazarbe. But the rabbis, Chazal, made a decree, kidderabba, following rabbis, it pin damarabba, kol chayvin bitkia shofar, but ain't hakol bikiyin bitkia shofar. Right? Really, what should happen this Rosh Hashanah is we should all be blowing shofar on the second day. We shouldn't listen to somebody. We should all blow the shofar. But what happens? We're not all experts. So therefore, what are we concerned about? Maybe Gzeira Shema Yitzlenu Biyado, the Baal Tokeya, who's got his shofar. He's like, you know what? I don't know. It looks like there's a hole. It goes all the way through. I'm not sure about the shofar. V'yelech Eitzel Habaki Lilmod. And he's got to go ask a Talmud Chacham what to do. V'yavi Renu Arba Amos Bershus Harabim. So he might. So listen to this Gemara. What's the concern? The shofar, you have a guy who knows how to blow a shofar. If he gets up and blows, he's yotzei the mitzvah, perhaps. However, what are we concerned about? Shabbos morning, the guy might wake up and he might say, I don't know, the shofar, it's a little bent. I'm not sure. There's a crack in it. I'm not paskening on my own. I am going to go ask a real posek hador, a real talmid chacham. And what happens in that concern? Of that perhaps broken shofar, you might walk four amos in Rishus Harabim, and you might violate the carrying on Shabbos. So if we were sitting here in a class format, and you were physically in front of me, like, you know, like they used to be in the olden days, Sally would be up in arms. Come on, this doesn't make any sense. And I would tell her, Sally, don't worry. We have the rest of the shiur, right? We have the whole shiur to get through. But ostensibly, it's a very strange halacha. It's a very strange halacha. Maybe the guy's going to have something wrong. Maybe he's going to have to bring it to somebody. Maybe he has a talmid chacham in his house. Maybe it's a house of gedolei hador. But maybe he's got a hole in the shofar. Maybe he's got to go ask someone. And maybe that someone is in a different rishus harabim. All of those things have to work for this to violate. And yet, because of that, we don't blow the shofar. We don't blow the shofar. So the question is therefore very obvious. Come on. How could that be? It's the shofar. It's not, okay, maybe like lulav, we can make an argument. Lulav, I might walk. First of all, a lot more things happen to the lulav, right? Because the Gemara actually said, I'm sorry, the Gemara says, by new time of the lulav and time of the Megillah. That's the same reason we made a decree when it comes to lulav on Shabbos. I remember once I was in a different shul with wherever it was many, many years ago. And there was somebody who was joining. He was not Jewish. He didn't want to convert, but he liked participating. It's strange in whatever the circumstances were. So I'm walking to shul on Shabbos of Sukkot, and he's walking with his lulav. So I don't want to tell him he's going to feel a little out of place. Besides feeling out of place, he's going to feel out of place. He doesn't have a lulav. No one else has a lulav. Okay, and we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos because maybe there'll be something wrong and you're going to take it. Fine. If I were to tell you that Shabbos, we don't shake the lulav, you would have said, listen, Rabbi, it's very meaningful, the shul together, the lulav, the arba minim, the different people, the eyes, the ears, the unity. All right, it's fine. It's fine. Anyway, I got six more days. I can take it. If you tell me, Rabbi, we can't read the Megillah. All right, I'll read the Megillah a different day. The shofar, though, is like a weapon. The shofar is a weapon that we have that we don't just, you know, I mentioned once in shul one of my great mentors, Rabbi Baum from Romer and Teaneck, once pointed out to me that when we're blowing the shofar, what's everybody doing when we're blowing the shofar? When we blow the shofar, everybody is looking. at the Baal Tokeya. How's that? It's not going to help him if you look at him. Really, we should be closing our eyes. And we should be thinking about you. And when that happens, when those tequilas are sounded, there is a palpable feel of emotion that runs through our veins. We feel connected. We feel uplifted. We feel motivated. It pushes during the hinnany. You feel it. It's a tefillah. The shofar is tefillah. It takes up, you know, the Gemara has a machlokes how the shofar should be. Should it be bent or straight? So we have a little bit like both, right? It's a little bit straight and a little bit bent. The same is true when it comes to tefillah. Is a machlokes in tefillah, should I stand upright or should I bend over? Right? Am I like confident in a Kadosh Baruch Hu accepting my tefillos? Or I am humble in front of the great Melech Malchei HaMalachim? So what do? We do both. We bend ourselves a little bit. Shofar is tefillah. The Pasuk says here in Source 6, that we'll say in Rosh Hashanah, Ashrei Ha'adam Yodei Seruah, Hashem Ar Panecha Yehaleichun. Who knows the Truah? Those that walk in your countenance. So there is a huge impact of the Shofar. The Medrash in Source 7, Rashi in Source 8, and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, if you don't blow the Shofar in the beginning of the year, Marin Lo Bisov, it's going to be a bad year. So here, if the Torah would have said, blow the Shofar, but on Shabbos, don't blow the Shofar. But how could it be that we have this great tool that we use to really take all of our, there's no way we could think of all the things we have to daven. You know, one of the exercises I run in class before Rosh Hashanah is we make a list. I do it every year still. You know, now that we're virtual, I could show you. See, hold on. Well, now that if you're listening to this year later, you won't be able to see this, but this, it's real. That is a note that I wrote to myself over 20 years ago. It's when I started to write notes before Yantiv. So every year we make lists. So we can't think of all the things we have to make a list for. So the shofar takes all of that up to Shemayim. How could it be? How could it be that we don't have this power of the shofar? So before we give some answers, let's talk historically what happened. So what happened with the shofar? Was this accurate? Did they blow the shofar anymore or did they not blow the shofar? So we learned earlier that the Mishnah told us after the Shachar on the Beis HaMikdash, they instituted, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted blowing of the shofar where there's a Beis Din. So look at this Gemara. And then we'll share some fascinating history. Says the Gemara, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Shitzkar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Tana Rabbana. Pam achas charash Hashanah lios b'Shabbos. One time it happened that Rosh Hashanah fell out on a Shabbos. Okay? So v'hayu koharim miskansim, and they all got together. Amar Yochanan ben Zakkai lefnei Mesira niska. Yochanan ben Zakkai said, right, to blow the shofar. So Amar lo nidon, Amar lem niska v'achar kach nidon. Let's blow the shofar, then we'll figure it out. So there's this back and forth about whether or not they should blow the shofar. And it seems that they blew the shofar. Did they blow it only in Yavne? Because Yavne was not just the Beis Din, but Yavne was the center of Torah after the Shachar of the Beis HaMikdash. So it sort of had the Yerushalayim aspect to it. Or are they saying, no, anytime you have a Beis Din, doesn't make a difference if the Beis Din is Yerushalayim-like level, or if you're Yavne level, or any Beis Din. You blow the shofar. And what happens in history? So there's a fascinating machlokas in the Rishonim. So now let's just take a little tour of Jewish history. We started with the Torah. The Torah tells us Yom Teruah and Zichron Teruah. So the Gemara Yerushalmi and the Gemara Bavli, they don't argue about the whether or not to blow. They argue on the reason. But it was already established that on Shabbos, we are not going to blow unless there's a Beis Din. Because what's the concern? If the concern is, hey, you're gonna by accident carry in Rishus HaRabim, if I have a Beis Din, what will the Beis Din do? The Beis Din will remind you, don't carry. So as long as I have this built-in alarm system telling me when the shofar is blown, when you have to fix the shofar, don't go out into Rishus HaRabim, so then we're good. In fact, the Daf Yomi now is doing the Gemaras in Erevin. The Gemaras in Erevin, a number of times discuss if things are public versus private. that if something is private and it's mine and no one could remind me about a halacha, you know, to carry or not carry. But here, if I have a basin, it'll be okay. So now we have the Torah. We then have the Gemaras, the Torah Shebaal Peh, helping us figure out why we're not blowing the shofar. And now we're moving to the Rishonim. So now we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is a Tana. So it's around the early times of the Beis HaMikdash, the first few centuries. Okay? And now we are moving to the Rishonim. So now we're in the Rif. The Rif is Rabbi Yitzhak Alafasi. Now Alafasi, we know, was not his last name, but because he lived in Morocco, he got the name Alafasi, was given to great leaders. Rabbi Yitzhak Alafasi, who lived 90 years from 1013 to 1103 in Morocco, was one of the great Rishonim. And in fact, when the Shulchan Aruch writes, the Rabbi Yosef Karo pens the Shulchan Aruch, we know that he relies on the Rif, the Rush, and the Rama. So the Rif, the great Posek, the Rif says that, yes, he says, as long as there is a Bezin, Amar Rav Hunavi and Bezin, my Im Bezin, Bifnei Bezdin, and says, if you have a Bezdin, you could blow the shofar. La'afuke, shalom Bifnei Bezdin. Meaning, today, if you had a Bezdin, and the Bezdin says, you can blow the shofar, you can go ahead and you can blow the shofar. Says the Rush, moving a little bit ahead in Jewish history. Says the Rush. So now we have the Rif, the Sephardic Posek. And now we go to the Rush. The Rush, we know, lives 1250 to 1327. The Rush is one of the great Ashkenazi commentator Poskim. Like the Rush, who was living in Germany, but then has to flee to Barcelona because of the Rindfleisch massacres. After the Rindfleisch massacres that killed his Chavrus of the Mordechai, the Rush is on the run. They tell the Rush, you have to get out of here. You have to leave because if you stay, they're going to find you. So the Rush has to have moved, and he really is one of the first Rishonim that is Ashkenazi, but is now the chief Rav of a Sephardic town. Either way, the Rush, living 200 to 300 years later, the Rush quotes this Rif. Amar Olav al Rav Ilfas. So he quotes the Rif, Shayatoka Barash Hashanah. So he says that the Rif did this, meaning the Rif held halacha lemaisa. If you have a Beis Din, you are allowed to blow the shofar. The only reason I am not blowing the shofar, now you understand, according to the Gemara Yerushalmi, we might not be able to do this because they based their reasons not on perhaps I might go to fix it. They based their reasons on the psukim, zichron trua and yom trua. But according to the Bavli, it leaves open this idea that if I have a basin and the basin could remind me, don't carry, don't do this, or better yet, you live in an area where you have a poskim, right? You know, I remember a number of years ago, Yom Kippur night, I had a shiloh that I didn't know, I wasn't sure how to paskin correctly. It was a very complicated and complex shiloh that occurred after Yom Kippur began. So I went to ask Rabbi Chaim Tversky, he's a great posig, a great, tremendous Talmud Chacham. I didn't violate any Erev, okay? I walked across the street and stayed there. They finished davening, and I shmoozed him in halacha for a little bit to get his opinion. Blar Hashem, he agreed with me. But, all right, so we're living in town. If I have a shayla, I'll go to bring it. So I'm not worried. So if I have a bezin, I could blow the shofar. It says the Rif, you can blow it, and the Rush says, we heard, but that was what the Rif did. Now, the Rush gives an important qualification. The Rush says, slow down. Maybe, though, if you just have three rabbis, that might not be so great. We're talking the Rif. The Rif was one of the Rishonim that the Shulchan Aruch is based on. He was a Gadol Hador Muflag, Echad Bedoro, but maybe not everybody else. Velo Nahagu Talmidav Acharav Lasoske. And it seems that after the Rif, this really wasn't kept up as much. Because you would really need to take a real basin to make this proclamation. And as we keep getting farther away from these times, we're not on their level. And perhaps we don't blow the shofar. Those that joined us a little bit late, I'll just recap quickly. We're discussing why we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. So we discussed that the Gemara Yerushalmi tells us that it's based on one pasuk saying Yom Trua, one pasuk saying Zichron Trua. So the Gemara Yerushalmi says, when do I blow the shofar? When it's a Yom Trua, when it's during the week. But when it's Zichron, I remember it, it's when it's on Shabbos. The Gemara Bavli told us, nope, you never blow the shofar on Shabbos because maybe there's going to be something wrong with the shofar. Maybe the Baal Tokeya is going to carry, is going to go ask somebody, and maybe that somebody will be outside the Erev at Orner Shosarabim, and you'll violate the carrying on Shabbos. And in fact, we have proof from the Cairo Geniza, even, that it seems that this is already not necessarily an accepted practice. That already, we don't really blow the shofar on Shabbos. But I'll just share with you a little bit of fascinating history. The fascinating history brings us to Yerushalayim in the 19th century. And there we meet a great Gadol Hadar, a very unique individual, whose name was Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger. Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger. Now, why do I share with you who that is? Because the reason being, Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger was a noted Talmud Chacham who served in Pressburg, eventually made his way to Israel, and he was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, even though he died at a very young age. The Chassam Sofer was his Sandik, and he views himself as the Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. So the story goes, and in fact, I'm sorry, we'll share this back with you. There's a number of places to quote it from, and I share these sources, and if you didn't get them, I can email them to you. But one of the stories here comes from the Sefer Moadim B'Halacha of Zevin. Rav Zevin tells us the story. That there was this, what happened through history? Shalos Hatkiya Barosh Hashanah. There was this Shiloh, what to do? The Maisa, from already the days of the Rif. From the days of the Rif, we weren't sure what to do. Ulam, but after the Rif, as we just saw, it seems to die down. It's not brought up as much. I'm sorry, I wanted to mention, I failed completely in the beginning. I want to mention that the Week of Learning this week is being sponsored by Jeannie and Alan. Freeman was sponsoring in memory of Jeannie's grandmother, Angel Bas Sophia, whose yard set is the Shabbos, the 23rd of Elul. All the learning this week, we'll do a lot of learning this week, should all be for an aliyah for the neshama. So we'll continue with this halacha. Okay, so from the times of the Rif, we don't really hear about it. But listen to this. This is great. Hasheila nisorura. The shaila is woken up in Yerushalayim Taf Reish Samechei. Taf Reish Samechvav. So that puts you at about 600 and what, 1240 plus 666 is what? 1240 plus 600 is 1840. Sorry, the 1900s, early 1900s. Shana Acher Shana, year after year, it was Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos. And there you had a Talmud Chacham Gadol B'Yerushalayim, Tokef B'Datu Bal Meretz, Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger. And he made a big tumult. And we can. There's more to talk about. I have some pieces here in English also. He made a big tumult about, you gotta blow the shofar. You gotta blow the shofar. And he publishes his ideas in a sefer, Teltal Piyos, Shafia Behungaria. He prints them in a Torah journal. A lot of reasons, 13 reasons, why we should blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah that falls out on a Shabbos. Specifically, not just on a Shabbos, but he really thinks specifically in Yerushalayim. That at least in Yerushalayim, where I could say that Yerushalayim is the Medina, it's surrounding the Beis HaMikdash, here is where we have to, we're going to blow the shofar. So what happens? So the story goes like this. If you continue to read, if you continue to read further, we'll see the following. So I share with you an article here about this great Talmud Chacham, this astounding personality, this Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger. So there's more to talk about his personality. You can read this article on your own if you'd like. But here is many issues. He was a kanoi, a zealot, in regard to the mitzvah of the shofar. And it's 1871, the year after he arrived in Yerushalayim, Rosh Hashanah was on a Shabbos. And he was anxious to build a shofar now that he was in the holy city. He went to Meir Arbach of Kalish, Imre Bina, who rejected him in 1881. Rosh Hashanah was again on a Shabbos, and Rav Schlesinger this time issued a pamphlet explaining why shofar should be blown on Shabbos. And although Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos several years later, the major controversy, as we just read, was in 1904. We got it right. Look at that. Good math, leap take. 1904 and 1905, and Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos 2 years in a row. He implored the rabbinic leadership to blow shofar. In fact, we have notes of these meetings. He called a meeting of great rabbanim to call together. So he has these arguments from 30 years earlier about blowing the shofar. All right, based on the Rambam, a lot of different reasons. And if you look here at the bottom, among Rav Schlesinger's innovative arguments in 1904 was his appeal to a bedridden Rav Salant. Rav Shmuel Salant was the Rav of Yerushalayim. Now, what's actually interesting is that Rav Salant, when he's very ill, he appoints the Aderes, who was a great Talmid Chacham and a very difficult life, as the associate of Rabbi. Although the Aderes unfortunately dies 2 years later, and Rav Salant, who was already ill, still lives longer than the Aderes. But nonetheless, he goes to Rav Salant and he says, "Let's blow the shofar." So story goes, he reported that both Rav Salant and the Aderes, their Rav Leil Dover Rabbeinu Tzu'umim, supported him. Others claim that Rav Salant said he wouldn't advocate blowing, but he wouldn't object. It's great, Mamish. Mamish, the Rav of Yerushalayim, 120 years ago, less, said either go for it, or even if you're going to blow, I can't argue, I won't object. I won't object. It's not like you have a guy like the crazy wants to bring the Karban Pesach and offer it. And this is like fully backed in halacha. Avichimecha Tukachinsky related that when the Aderes, the former Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, head of the Ashkenazi community of Yerushalayim, Rav Yitzhak Cook's father-in-law, realized Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos 1905, he worried he might not ever fulfill the biblical mitzvah of shofar again. Imagine that. He then said if Rav Schlesinger blew the shofar, he would stand behind the wall to hear. Rav Schlesinger left an important message about the singers of the shofar. So I will just tell you, by the way, that the story goes that what happens in the end is that he does not blow the, he blows, either the story goes that he blows the shofar in his own house. He pulls the shades down, closes the door, blows the shofar, and people were listening in. They didn't object in blowing the shofar. Mamish, 119 years ago, in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. Okay, so I never like an Ashir to say Ad Kan the history, but that sort of leads that we don't really hear much more after Akiva Yosef Schlesinger. It's a fascinating story. It involves a number of great, great personalities within Yerushalayim in the early 20th century. The Aderes, Rav Shmuel Yosef Salant. It's fascinating. Okay, but in the end of the day, I, at least in KJBS, I don't know where anybody else. Davins, I don't know what's going to happen in your shul. I know that here we are not blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah this year on Shabbos. Okay? Now, if somebody were to give a really large donation and say, hey, I'll give you a big donation if you blow the shofar, then I probably would have to look into it very significantly. But nonetheless, so I want to share with you two very important thoughts as to what we take away without the shofar. So the first is an astounding comment of the Meshech Chacham. The Meshech Chacham, Er Simcha Devinsk, in the 19th century, 18th to 19th century, says the following. I'm sorry, 19th, 20th century. And he gives a longer piece here, but I want to share with you a little bit about what he says. Let's recap for a second. According to how he paskin, the Gemara Bavli, the reason that I don't have this unbelievable emotionally laden tool that is dripping with raw feelings and heart and philos of the shofar. The Gemara is telling us that if I don't blow the shofar, I'm going to lose out on something. The only reason that I don't have that powerful moment on the first day of Rosh Hashanah this year is because maybe the guy who's blowing the shofar might accidentally maybe there's going to be an issue. Now, I will tell you that most people that blow the shofar, most experienced Baalei Tokeya, do not have one shofar at their house. They have multiple shofars at their house. They probably bring multiple shofars to shul, and they most likely leave a shofar or two in shul. Okay, so, but what might happen? He might wake up on the way, he might see a shofar as a crack. He might say, oh my gosh, I got to get this fixed out. I got to get this fixed. He might not realize that being that it's Shabbos, there was a big storm last night and it took down the Eruv. He doesn't realize. Or he doesn't realize that he decides he's going to cross over Rishus HaRabim. Ah, he's going to violate Hotzah carrying on Shabbos. So therefore we tell him, don't blow the, we tell everybody, don't blow the shofar. Says the Meshech Chachma. We'll pick it up right here. First, he says, he asks our question. He says, how could this be? The shofar is so powerful. So one of the things that he suggests is that the goal of the shofar, especially as it relates to Akedas Yitzchak, and others besides the Meshech Chachma make this point as well, but the Akedah represents our sacrifice, right? And our listening to God whenever he tells us. In fact, some saying that that is the foundation to Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma is founded not at Har Sinai, but way back when Avram says, I'll do it, Kachas, I got it, I'll take my only son that I've waited for, that's going to inherit me, I'm going to take that son. Says the Meshech Chachma, when we listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say, okay, Hashem, you're asking me something that is very difficult. Not that the Torah says I shouldn't blow it, but you're telling me that there is a small chance that the shofar could have a crack. There is a smaller chance that the Baal Tokeya is going to carry in Rosh Hashanah. But nonetheless, all of Klal Yisrael is going to say, we accept that and we are going to listen to that halacha. That is an unbelievable lesson. That is the obedience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it's showing our devotion, our level of commitment. By saying, we understand there is something very powerful with the shofar. We get it. But nonetheless, we understand that you also want us to listen to you. So we're listening. And we are foregoing this great tool that we have because we want to listen to you. So there's two ways to answer the question. One way is to say, why are we not blowing the shofar on Shabbos? Here's the answers why. Technical answers. Yom Teruah, Zichron Teruah. The other way is, it's not a question. We may not be blowing the shofar. But when we don't blow the shofar, we're also saying, look at this commitment. Look at this level of obedience to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of Rosh Hashanah is about obedience to Hashem, about kingship, about malchus, about relating to God, that I listen to God. I'm a servant of God. I have a relationship with God. God gives me commandments and I listen to them. What better way for me to show that I listen to commandments? What better way for me to show that I am an obedient servant to Hashem and that I want to listen to every mitzvah than by saying, I'm not going to blow. I'm not going to blow, even though it's a fraction of a chance that these things could actually happen. I'm not going to blow because that means I'm also listening. That's my Akedas Yitzchak. That's my saying, I am obedient, I am listening, I am committed. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik would often talk about our you know, how we view ourselves in terms of a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That there are certain times that halacha is very demanding of us. But when we pull back, when we are able to restrict ourselves and fulfill what sometimes is very hard. You know, the Rav makes this point in a number of places, but for example, you know, when a shiva is abruptly stopped by a simchas yantif, it's not easy, it's difficult, it's hard, but that's what Hashem asked of me. So I'm going to do it. That obedience to halacha, that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rosh Hashanah is about a feeling that I have a relationship with God, that Hashem asks me things to do, and I listen to them. But I don't just do them because I connect in them that way. I want to connect in the way that God asks me to do. So if Hashem says, there are laws, Erevin is a law, carrying is a law, is everybody carrying their shofar? Maybe not. Is everybody going to violate Rishus HaRabim? Maybe not. But we're not going to carry. We made a rule we're not going to carry. And by listening to that mitzvah, that is the highest level of Avodas Hashem. And that is the opinion of the Meshech Chachma. And I think it's a very beautiful idea that we shouldn't feel necessarily that we're missing something on that first day, but that we should feel like, look at us. We understand what this power is, but we understand that Hashem asked me something to do, and I'm listening. You know, too often we're hard on ourselves when it comes to vidui. Rav Pinkus makes a beautiful observation that really vidui, when it comes to vidui maisros, when you hear the word vidui maisros is when I actually confess the good that I did. Look, God, biarti hakodesh min habayis. I took out my maaser, I took out my truma, I checked off every box. I'm a good Jew. That's vidui. So we should feel good about ourselves in Rosh Hashanah the first day. When we skip over Rosh Hashanah, we should say, I feel good. I'm listening to commandments. And it should make us think about what is our level of commitment. Perhaps on Rosh Hashanah that falls on a Shabbos, there is no better way for me to enhance my understanding of commitment to God, of mitzvah observance, of how I can devote more time and more energy to what Hashem asks of me than by not blowing the shofar. That's one thought. But there's another way to go about answering this question. And that is not necessarily to look at the absence of the shofar and why I'm not doing it, but to look at the power of Shabbos. And here we bring ourselves to an amazing, amazing Medrash. The Medrash tells us the following. Says the Medrash. Rabbi Chama b'shem Rabbi Chanina bar Rabbi Yitzhak Amar. Here we go. Here. Paga bo Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon meets Kayin. Okay? He meets Kayin. So here you have Kayin who commits murder. Adam who's kicked out of Gan Eden. So he says to Kayin, No, ma dinach, what happened? What happened in your court case? So Amar le asisi tshuva nispesharti. I did tshuva, Kayin says. And I made a deal. So Hizchel Adam Arishon mitapech al parav, he falls onto his hands. Amar kach kocha shal tshuva v'ani lo hayisi yodea. Okay, now the Medrash could have ended there. Amazing conversation. Adam meets Kayin. Adam says, "New Kayin, what's happening?" Kayin says, I did tshuva." Adam says, "Oh my gosh, I could have done tshuva." But the Medrash continues. Miyad Amar Adam Arishon v'Amar Mizmar Shir Yom HaShabbos. All of a sudden, Adam falls into his hands and he's emotional and he proclaims Mizmar Shir Yom HaShabbos. Why is that a tefillah? Why isn't it some other paragraph? If it's already Tehillim, why isn't it Shir HaMalos Mimamakim Esainai? Right? Why isn't it why isn't it something else? Why specifically Mizmar Shir Yom HaShabbos? And the answer is because Shabbos is a powerful form of tshuva. See, when it comes to Shabbos, we have to understand something. Shabbos really brings us back to our core. What happens when we get to Shabbos? All of that preparation, all of that, we enter into a world. I'll never forget. One year we brought in Rabbi Rimon, the great Rabbi Rimon. We're in eighth grade. We learn Hilchos Shabbos. And of course, we use the concise code, the Jewish law, Rabbi Appel. And over the year, we tell our students, anytime that they have a what if, or how what about this, or my parents don't do that, which is always a very dangerous question, okay? But they have questions, they have shilohs they bring up. So we obviously, myself, Mrs. Rosenbaum, we answer their questions, but we also tell them, we're going to keep a running list. We keep a live Google Doc. And then we hopefully, at the end of the year, we bring somebody in virtually. We were ahead of Zoom even before Zoom. And we bring somebody in to, like, answer these questions. So one year we brought in, we Skyped in Rabbi Rimon. We asked Rabbi Rimon, and the kids got to ask questions. It was an amazing experience. So they're talking to Rabbi Rimon. And Rabbi Rimon says to them, he's talking about Shabbos. So he says to them, "You ever been to Disney World?" They say, "We've been to Disney World." It's okay. He goes, "Everything in Disney World is different, right?" They say, "Yeah, everything is different." He says, "Even the bathrooms are different, right?" The kids say, "Yeah, everything is different." So Rabbi Rimon, see, I could like teach Hilchos Shabbos for like 10 years, or Rabbi Rimon in like one sentence. Rabbi Rimon says to the kids, he says, "Boys and girls, Shabbos is Disney World. It's a world like none other. It's its own world." So Shabbos, that's why the preparation for Shabbos is its own world. And that's why there's a deep connection between tshuva and between Shabbos. See, what Adam realizes is that, oh my gosh, I sinned. I might have sinned. I never realized I could have done tshuva. I could have gone back and I could have returned to my who I am. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik talks about sin as a polluting quality to it. Right? So I could have like erased that and I could have gone back, not just say I'm sorry. I could have gone back to who I am. I could have, you know, removed all those dirty layers that have been built up over the time. And that's why, what does he do? Immediately, he begins a Mizmer Shir Liyom HaShabbos, because that Shabbos, out of every day of the week, it allows us to get back to who we are. We know that already in Mitzrayim, Moshe negotiated one day for the Jews to get off. It was Shabbos. It's only when Paro takes that day away that then the Jews, v'lo yishmu mikotzerach me'avodah kasha, they can't listen. They lost their Shabbos. Shabbos re-anchors us. Shabbos re-navigates us. It puts us back onto where we are. It sets us for the week ahead. That's tshuva. Tshuva is a microcosm of Shabbos. When Shabbos is done to its utmost fulfillment, Friday night enhances our Shabbos day. Amalava Malka. It's its own world. It has its own tefillos. It has its own meals. It has its own terms. You know, I tell all my time, and you know, I never thought I'd do this as a Rebbe, because Meir Baim did it to me. But I don't allow my students to say Saturday night. I tell them it's Motzei Shabbos. I say we're gonna call, right? In our eighth grade, we don't call it Gemara class. We call it Shir. We don't call it Erev. We don't call it Motzei Saturday night. We call it Motzei Shabbos. But Shabbos has its a world in and of itself, and that's why Adam Arishon cries and says Mizmer Shir LeYom HaShabbos. And the Slonim Rebbe, in this piece here, the Slonim Rebbe makes this point. Slonim Rebbe says that Shabbos really is the root. Shabbos, it's a little cut off, so I'll just read it to you. But Shabbos, Nikre Shabbos Shuva, Timirumas Bezeh Shah Shabbos Ashoresh Ve'ikr Shalat Shuva. I'll never forget, one year I was in Hollywood, and Rabbi Penner, one of my great teachers, Rabbi Penner gets up on Shabbos, and he says, it's Shabbos Shuva. There's no Avinu Malkeinu. There's no slach. There's no slicha. It's just Shabbos. But yet, it's the purest form of tshuva. You could just talk to God. Shabbos has an ability to remove everything else, to get us back to who we are. And that's Shabbos Kodesh. And in fact, he quotes in Medrash L'Slanim Rebbe that Kayan gets an oath. And some say that oath on his forehead is Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh. That when Adam HaRishon meets him, and he says, yeah, after sinning, you can get back to who you are. We realize we get that when it comes to Shabbos. And that's why perhaps this year, when it's Shabbos and we're not going to hear the shofar, perhaps there's really two lessons that we could take out of our not listening and not hearing the shofar on that first day of Yontif. The first might be, it's okay. We might not be hearing the Shabbos. We might not be hearing the shofar, but we're listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, not to blow the shofar, and we are listening, and we are dedicating, we are committed, because that's the halacha. And that is a very, very important lesson. But another reason it's possible that we were to gain this year is for us to say, what does my Shabbos look like? Is my Shabbos, or can my Shabbos, take the place of what the shofar is supposed to be? That tekiah, that blast is supposed to get me back and really re-enter me into the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why, like, the shofar of Yovel is this unique tekiah. Can it do that? Does my Shabbos do that? And that's really what we'll think about when we don't hear the shofar. And we'll say that when we skip a Resh HaSifah say no, we'll say, but I have Shabbos. And I don't just have it once a year. Once a year, I have it every week. Every week I have the power of tekiyos. Every week I have the power, the same way that when we sit there and show, and that tekiyah is blown, and it's very powerful this year on that second day. But when that feeling hits me in my heart, and it does, and I feel goosebumps, and I have that moment in davening that I'm connected, and that there's a deep feeling that I am the only person alone in the shul, or I'm home by myself this year, wherever it may be, I feel that it's me and God. It is me and God in the room. It might be for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, a minute, 10 minutes. And I'm davening passionately and I feel a strong emotion. And that comes from the tekiyos. I could do that every Shabbos. I might not be the whole 25 hours, but Shabbos can get me to the place of the tekios. So maybe I don't need the tekios this year. But instead of looking at, I don't need the tekios because I have Shabbos, let's look at the rest here by saying, I don't need the tekios because I have Shabbos. Not just in Rosh Hashanah, but every single day, every single week of the year, I have this power of the tekios. And that really allows us to view the absence of the shofar with two very powerful tools. Our level of commitment with Baruch Hashem, we're always working and we're always growing. And my attitude toward Shabbos, my avira of Shabbos, my atmosphere, how am I always building that up? How am I making it feel like it's something special? How do the laws of Shabbos, play into my feeling of emotion? Rabbi Yappel, in his book, The Concise Code, talks about that the laws of Shabbos create the atmosphere. Hirsch talks as well. The laws create the atmosphere, but I have to fill it in. I have to fill in the Kedusha of Shabbos, but I could do it. And I could fill that void that I'm looking for during the week with the tekios that I get on Rosh Hashanah. So everybody, we'll have it again Thursday night.